We are working our way through the book of Acts this summer, so I want to keep you moving here. Turn to somebody and say, no more.
No more.
Oh, say it like you mean it. Say, no more.
No more.
Turn to somebody else and say, no less.
No less.
Turn to somebody and say, no more, no less. No less.
No less.
That's right. We're here today to talk about a church that knows what that means. No more than the essentials, no less than the essentials. I used to have a football coach who used to always say, Nelson, keep it simple, stupid. And then he'd make me run a lap. Kiss, keep it simple, silly. Keep it simple. Don't you yearn for simplicity? The world we live in is becoming more complex by the moment. Every gadget that comes out that's supposed to simplify our lives simply makes it more complicated. You know, you think it's going to be great when they give you a cable with 157 channels, right? You still can't find anything to watch, right? There's more demands on your time than ever before. We're taking Casey to T-ball camp next week. He's 4 years old. I didn't go to T-ball camp, but I mean, life is more complicated, more demands on our time, more demands on our relationship. In the midst of this complexity, a few people are understanding that what the world wants more than ever is something simple. You know who knows that? Google. The number one search engine revolutionized the internet. Google it. Let me Google it. It's become a part of the lexicon of the language around us. Google, less than 100 words on its homepage. Compare it with one of its competitors, Yahoo. Hundreds and hundreds of words. You don't know where to begin. Why does Google pop to the top? Because it's simple. The iPod, simplicity, costs more and does less than competitive MP3 players around it. And why is it the industry standard? One button, one dial, one plug into your computer. Even Jeff Nelson can figure it out. Simplicity. Simplicity sells. Papa John's. Here's what Papa John's says about their mission statement. At Papa John's, we have a simple formula for success. Focus on one thing and try to do it better than everybody else. Did you ever get crazy bread at Papa John's? They don't sell it. Did you ever get chicken wings at Papa John's? They don't sell it. You want good pizza? You call Papa John's. Simplicity. They've 20 years, they've moved from one restaurant to the third largest pizza chain in the world. Because of something, simplicity. Jesus was all about keeping it simple. Blessed are the simple, he said. Jesus walked into a religious context where there were 613 religious laws that you were expected to keep each and every day. 613 different rules, one for every day of the week, one for every day of the year, plus one for every part of your body. A rule. Some of them were things you were supposed to do. Most of them were things you were not supposed to do. You couldn't keep it straight. The religious context of Jesus' world was complicated. Jesus walks in and says, all of that can be boiled down to two things. Love God, love your neighbor, the rest of it will take care of itself. Love God, love your neighbor, the rest of it will take care of itself. Jesus brought simplicity. Faith wasn't simple, but he made it something that we could wrap our heads around. Love God, love your neighbor. When it came to prayer, Jesus kept it simple. He said, when you don't know how to pray, simply pray like this. Not necessarily these words, but all you have to do in a prayer is ask God to give me what I need. for today. Give me daily bread, not for tomorrow, not for next week, not for next year. God, just give me what I need in order to get by today. God, let me forgive the people who need to be forgiven today. God, and could you just keep me out of the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits that hurt me and hurt others? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A simple prayer that you can pray anytime. It covers everything that we ever need to know about prayer. And I know that sometimes we wonder what the final assessment's going to be when it's all said and done, when we stand before the throne of grace. What's God going to say to us? Jesus said, God's simply going to say, did you feed the hungry, clothe the naked? Did you give a glass of water to someone who is thirsty? Keep it simple. Take care of the least of these, and you've taken care of me. Jesus came into a complex world in a complex situation and kept it simple. How simple is our church? Is our faith simple enough that it shines through the complexity of the world around us? Do we get bogged down in all the rules and regulations with all the bureaucracy and all the meetings? Can people who walk through the door for the first time pretty much figure out what's important to this place? The first church, the Acts church, was a study in simplicity. Hear this description of that very first church from Acts, the second chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who has need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A growing church is a simple church. A simple church that does four things. Nothing more, but nothing less. The first thing that they did was learn the way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why is it when people walk through the door that that's one of the things they'll be looking for? Is because we're all deeply searching for meaning and for purpose. We want to know our way through this complex world. And friends, their way of God is a way different than the world around us. We have got to be immersed in it. Are you immersed in God's word? In God's teaching. Notice they didn't try to do that alone. Has anyone here ever tried to sit down and say, this year I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover and get to Leviticus and quit? Right. You need to do it together in community. Are you in a fellowship of learning here at the church? We've got them before each service. We're going to be starting new small groups in the fall. Chuck and Dallas are part of Community Bible Fellowship, and they'll help you get connected to that. Are you connected in a place where you are learning the way? I want to tell you something. If it's ever a choice between signing up to work on a committee and being in a learning group, choose the learning group. Tell the pastor, no, I don't have time to do everything, and I'm going to choose to be in a small group. In a learning group, learn the ways of the apostles. May that be one of the things that's a center point of who we are. The second thing that they did was they devoted themselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. That's where we Methodists get connected. They were the first original potluck people. Why is fellowship so important? Because we need friends. We need friends. We need real friends. We need people who will love us And people who will accept us. People who will forgive us. People who will be honest with us. People who will let us be ourselves. Church is the place where you are supposed to find those kind of friends. And so the first group, they spent time with each other. They ate together. Claire has a mission. It isn't just to cook meals. It's to get you sitting at tables together so that you get to know each other. So you get to learn to love each other. Her work in that kitchen and all who are a part of that is holy work. And so we're going to make room to eat together. Praise God. Praise God. When's the last time you invited somebody from church to eat at your house? That's not a setup to invite me, okay? Invite somebody around you who you eat with. Says a lot about you. Says who you think is important. Don't believe me? Step into a middle school or high school lunchroom someday. What table you sit at and who you eat with and who you won't eat with defines who you are. The politics of the lunchroom table is alive and well in this world. And Christians are supposed to be the people who break those barriers down, who are willing to sit at the table with all God's people. That what was so radical about the first church. They ate together. People who never were supposed to be friends in this world were friends together, coming across racial and ethnic divides. They found friendship. They could be seen eating together at the table. The next time you're going to go to breakfast after church, do me a favor, do God a favor, ask somebody to come along with you. Somebody you'd never known before. Say, hey, we're going to breakfast this Sunday and we'd like to take you with us. Are you busy? And if they can't do it this week, chances are they'll find a time to do it. Take somebody along to eat with you. Devote yourself to study and eating together. We can do that, right, Tammy? Yeah. We can eat together. The third thing that they did was they gave to anyone as they had need. They took care of each other. Did you hear what that Bible verse said? It said they sold their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. They were one in heart and mind. They gave freely to each other. What is yours is mine. Isn't that so different than the world around us? We're just supposed to be a place who takes care of each other. Why is it so important to be a place who takes care of each other? First, because we need to give. I hope you know that. You need to give. In order to live, you've got to give. And I don't know if you know this, but someday you're going to need to receive. All of us are going to need to receive someday. Doesn't matter how self-sufficient you think you are, there's going to come a day when you're going to need to receive. May this be the place that gives and receives freely, knowing that we give today because someday we're going to be in need and this place will take care of us. I've learned that about this place already. I can stand up here and ask you to do something, whether it's build a ramp, put in a kitchen sink, collect washcloths or socks. You already know how to do it, friends. My good brother John Eggenberger told me as he was preparing for baptism this week, he says, it's the one thing that we still are getting used to here, is that you all take care of us. That you all help us. Along the way, you look out for us. What's yours is also ours. That's so different than the world around us. What's the thing that we're going to do for the world around us? I'm not sure yet, but I know it's coming. That's what we're struggling with in our visioning process, but we're going to find that thing so the world knows who we are and what we're about. Are you involved in study? Are you in fellowship and breaking bread with all God's people? Are you finding ways to give and receive? And finally, the last thing that the simple church did and the simple church needs to do is pray. And they prayed. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. They prayed for each other. I love what Martin Luther King says about prayer. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: to be Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Prayer, it brings us into the heart of God. But can I be honest with you for a moment? I don't always get prayer. I know I'm your pastor and I'm supposed to not tell you that. But I tell you that because chances are you don't always get it either. You're not always sure what to say or how to say it. Do you find that it's easier to pray for somebody else than to pray for yourself? Lord knows I do. That's probably why I became a pastor, so I could pray for all of you and not worry about me. Because I know that sometimes I worry that my little hang-ups and hurts are too much for a God who's got a world to save. That's why we need each other. For days when I can't pray for me, I know that you will. And days you can't pray for yourself, you know I will, or you know that each other will. Bridget, I was going to ask you this. What was the name of that woman? I should have asked you this morning at breakfast, I know. The woman at Central that was there who didn't know the woman, and she's been praying for her the whole time, and she stood up and said, "Who's?" I really got you confused. There was a time at Central, there was a woman that had been sick, and the church had been praying for her, and she stood up to give testimony that God had been involved in her life, and she pointed up the thing and said, "Who's Alberta Hubbard?" Alberta said, "That's me." She says, "Alberta, I don't even know you, but you've been sending me cards for the last 6 months telling me that you were praying for me, and I'm here today because a woman I never knew before held me in prayer because the church asked her to do that." Will you be a church who prays for each other? Because Lord knows you all have something that you could use prayer for. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. You know, I always ask you to do something weird, and I hope you'll trust me and do it. In your bulletin, there's a card. It's a blank card. And here's what I need you to do. There's something in your life you need prayer for. And I simply invite you to write it down. What is the one thing you need prayer for? You know what I need prayer for? I shouldn't stand up here and tell you. I need prayer to keep walking. Because Lord knows I want to be around for the long haul for my kids. And if I don't take off another 30, 40 pounds, I'm going to cut 10 or 15 years off my life. I don't want to do that. And I need your prayers to make sure that I'm doing that. That's why I wear this little tether on my thing to remind me. If I don't get to 10,000 steps, I need to walk. And I walk for my kids. Will you pray for me that I do that? Because Lord knows those 157 channels,